So don't just limit yourself. The sourcing guidelines are super important when you're a beginner because you have to be able to put parameters on yourself. I don't know if you're like me, but when I first started, I was so excited to source all the time and find the crazy deals. And especially when it was arbitrage. I mean, it's treasure hunting. It's fun. It's exhilarating. It's exciting.
Welcome to the Amazon Files podcast, brought to you by Mommy Income, where we help others start and scale businesses on Amazon by taking small, consistent steps. Here is your host, Kristen Ostrander, a 17-year e-commerce veteran who knows a thing or two about building a seven-figure Amazon empire from the comfort of her own home. Surrounded by three energetic kids and a hunky husband, she still has an insatiable desire to see others succeed.
Hey everyone, this is Kristen Ostrander, and you are listening to the Amazon Files podcast brought to you by Mommy Income. And I am really wanting to know, are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling and experiencing maybe slow sales? I mean, it is Q4 and we are expecting a lot of volume, but have you hit kind of a plateau and you're not sure how to kind of get past those plateaus? Well, I am going to give you some strategies that I have used to help bust through plateaus. And this is going to benefit everyone, whether you're stuck at maybe $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, or you really want to break through to the next level. I have got some amazing tips for you that have helped me bust through some plateaus and get things done and get to growth. Because don't we really kind of want growth? We want growth in some way or another. If you're not looking for revenue growth, maybe you're looking for profit growth or just growth in overall business and the way you run things. So I can help you with all that. Now, don't forget that this is not where these conversations end. So I know that you want to continue the conversation, that you've got some questions that you want to get answered. So come to the Facebook group. It is mommyincome.com/join us with the code word busted. And why are we talking about busted? Because we're going to bust through all your plateaus. So make sure you use the code word, because when you try to get to the Facebook group, it's going to ask you, what is your code word? You want to have one. There's one in every episode, or at least in the show notes. And today the code word is busted. So mommyincome.com/join us, code word busted, get into the Facebook group. A lot of people have said that community is something they're really craving when it comes to this, or they've started their Amazon business or they're thinking about it and nobody else gets it. Nobody else gets the rush of your first sale, or they just don't get the fact that you want to do this and that it's a worthy cause. And so you want to be able to join up with people that really understand what you're going through as far as setting your business up and getting sales and dealing with some of the headaches, but also people that understand your excitement of wanting to own something that's all yourself. So that's what really the Facebook community is for, to go somewhere to get a little bit of relief, because there's a lot to learn. And so it's a good place to start learning from people who have been there and done that. Those are amazing things, and things that are working right now, things have been working for the test of time. The Facebook group is really a great place to go there. And yes, I know, roll your eyes, another Facebook group to join. I get it. But maybe if there's some Facebook groups you're in that you're not always visiting, or it's a big distraction for you, then set yourself a limit to only look at the Facebook group once a day for a 15-minute hustle. And then there you go. So make sure you come and join us in the Facebook group. And when you're there, you're also going to learn about things like this, things about what's coming up, which is the workshop. And we're over 50% sold out already. It's not till January, January 13th through the 15th, Atlanta, Georgia. We're actually going to do the workshop a little bit outside of downtown. So we'll be in the Buckhead area and we're hosting our workshop there. There's going to be a Thursday night meet and greet, chance to meet everybody and get to know me and other people before we jump into workshops, which is going to be all day on Friday. And then Saturday is the optional, but very, very fun and exciting trade show walkthroughs, where I'll guide you through the trade show, whether it's your first time or your 100th time. It's always fun to go with other people and just kind of get some really great ideas. That's my favorite thing to do on the trade show floor, is really just look at all the different ideas, be like, oh, I have this idea and that idea. They're fantastic. So I am personally just inviting you. I want to meet you. And there's not very many spots left. We're actually over 50% sold out right now. So there's probably about 10 spots or so left. And, you know, once they sell out, they sell out. So I would love to be able to meet you. Start off 2022 with a really good start. I mean, everyone who's come to a January workshop really has loved how it's given them the positive momentum to start their business off right on that year and just hit the ground running. The January ones are always the best, but then when people come to ones in like July and August, they're also super motivated to get ready for Q4. So whenever you come to a workshop, this is the only one planned right now. So I really hope I can meet you guys there. MommyIncome.com/workshop. And you're going to get a special coupon because you're a podcast listener, right? Special coupon is workshop 50. That saves you $50 off of the entire workshop experience. And that's all that I have as far as announcements. Now, let's really talk about some of these plateaus because we've all hit them. If you haven't hit one yet, great. This is like future information from when you feel like you're, you know, maybe after a month or two or three, you're kind of at the same plateau. And you're like, okay, what are we doing here? How am I going to get more sales? How can I get over this hump? Because I've been learning, I've been doing, I've been taking action, and now I'm kind of stuck at a plateau. And that happens several times. I know significantly in the beginning of our business, one of the things that it felt like it was really fast growth in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, when we were hitting about almost $5,000 or $6,000 a month in sales, it kind of leveled out for about 3 months. And we were like, man, we can't grow past this. This is really kind of, you know, we were happy with it because it was a good milestone, but we were also like, okay, but how do you get past this mark? And so everybody experiences these kind of plateaus. And when you're small, it really is fairly easy to get scaling because you're not spending big amounts of money to move your business in the right direction. But one thing is for certain, if you're going through a plateau, you've got to do something different. One of my favorite stories about like doing something different and being resourceful and changing up what you're doing because what you're currently doing isn't getting the result you want. It's getting a result and a result that you've previously been happy with. But if you're looking for a new, a different, a better result, you're going to have to do things differently. So you guys all know, you've heard me talk about my son many times. And when he was younger, he was kind of a wild child. And because he was a wild child, I was always on my feet. One of his favorite things was lightsabers from Star Wars. He had every single one that he could possibly have. We picked him up at yard sales, different places, and he just had every color. And one day he's being the bad guy, the next day he's being the good guy, and you know, he's just all over. Well, occasionally he got a little wild. And by occasionally, I mean daily. And so I had to put them on top of the refrigerator to take them away from him for a time until he could use them responsibly. So I would put them on top of the refrigerator. And one day when I was nursing the baby in the other room, I heard this like thumping and I was like, what is happening in there? But I didn't hear anything else. So I'm like, I wonder if he's just like jumping around. I thought he was just kind of being crazy, but he wasn't making any more of those like boy noises. If you know what I mean, if you've ever had boys or if you have boys, they make noises that humans just don't make. I'm not trying to be like gender specific here, but like my daughters have never really done this. He just makes all these different, like he's like in a superhero movie all the time. And he's always making like just boy noises. And so that's what I normally heard when he was playing around all the time. But this particular time, I just heard thumping and no noises and no, like he was really concentrating. So I got up out of my chair and I'm peeking around the corner into the kitchen to see what he's doing. And what I realize is this almost three-year-old is jumping, trying to reach the top of the fridge because he really wants these lightsabers. And I was like trying not to laugh. Before I could even say anything or think about it, he only did this about three times. And then he went over and got a chair. He pushed the chair over to the refrigerator and he stepped up there and got the lightsaber. Now, I know he's not supposed to do that, but I couldn't help but laugh at his resourcefulness. And he just realized jumping wasn't going to get the job done. He had a goal. The goal was get the lightsaber on top of the fridge. And so jumping, he realized very quickly, wasn't going to do it. So he got a chair, climbed up there, and it worked. On his tippy toes, he was able to reach really, really high and grab his lightsaber, and he was super thrilled about it. Of course, I laughed. I didn't want him to have it because he was already in trouble for it. So we just talked about, let's be responsible with it and move on. But the thing is his persistence and his ability to make a change gave him the desired result that he wanted. And that's really the same thing for you. As you're looking through your business, your numbers, your sales, your time management, whatever it is you're trying to manage right now, your persistence and your ability to change is going to get you a desired result. Because whatever you're doing now, it might have got to you where you are now. But if you want something different, you have to do something different. In order to get what we've never had, we've got to do something we've never done. Now, I've heard that quote before, and I'm sorry, I can't attribute it to anybody in particular. I have no idea who said that. It's probably like age old proverb, you know, something like that. But like, that's really true. We want something we've never had. We've got to do something that we've never done, or something that we're not doing often or consistent. That's my little take on that. Is it like, if you want something that's out of your reach right now, you're going to have to stretch in order to get it. So as we're hitting these plateaus in our business, it's like the good problem to have, right? You're hitting plateaus. That means you're having some consistency in your business. A plateau means maybe a month or two where you're having about the same numbers. Things are consistently the same. You just can't get past that certain time, certain number. You run out of money or time or both, and it's really hard to kind of figure that stuff out. So with that, we're going to bust through some of these plateaus that we have here and talk about them. Your first one that I think that is really helpful to examine when you're hitting a plateau is how you source your products. So how you source your products, whether you're doing retail arbitrage or you're doing wholesale or bundling, you need to look specifically at how you're choosing those range. Are you looking at are you being super picky about your keyword range and you're not taking anything under 10,000 per month? Or are you looking at a specific sales rank where you're only going to pick products that are in the top 1% because you want them to move really quickly? Examine what your sourcing guidelines are, because sometimes that's what gets us stuck, is that we're just really stubborn, or we're really, I like the word determined rather than stubborn, but you know, I'll own both of those in different situations. If you're really determined to just stick to your guns on your guidelines, you're going to have to be more patient, because you will hit plateaus a lot more if you're not willing to budge on some of your statistics. But I don't want you to budge so far that you're compromising all of your profit. So if you've only been purchasing items, like say you're doing sales rank or something like that, or number of sellers or category percentage or something, you know, you're doing that and you're doing only top 5%, then maybe you can do expanding to the top 8% or the top 10% in more specific categories. So don't just limit yourself. The sourcing guidelines are super important when you're a beginner, because you have to be able to put parameters on yourself. I don't know if you're like me, but when I first started, I was so excited to source all the time and find the crazy deals. And especially when it was arbitrage, I mean, it's treasure hunting. It's fun. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. The not so fun part is getting it home, peeling stickers, putting poly bags on things, and then sending them off, listings, all that kind of stuff. Those aren't the funnest part. But eventually, you have to really look beyond all of that and say, okay, well, my margins used to be, you know, really good. Maybe there's some things like that. We'll talk about numbers in a minute. But looking at your sourcing guidelines, change your ROI guidelines that you have for yourself, or maybe your margins. So if you were sticking with 100% or more return, try 85%. So that's not a huge drop, but 15% maybe be enough to move you forward a little bit, get some sales going, and see if you can find a few more faster moving items, maybe at lower margins, to kind of kickstart and kick you moving. Reality is, I love to be a margin seller. I'm not a volume seller. I don't need to have things in the top 1% of categories and move extremely quickly. I just need to move consistently and with really good margins, because I don't want to have to lower my price so much that I'm not making any money. That's one of the reasons I do bundles to begin with, is so that I don't have to directly compete with everybody else who has a different margin guideline than I do. It's just different. I like to work what I consider smarter and not harder. I don't want to have to push 5,000 units out the door all the time. I'd rather just sell a smaller number of units, maybe 100 or so a month, with 25 different SKUs, 50 SKUs, and some outliers, instead of trying to constantly push crazy volume. So that's the number one tip for busting your plateaus, is changing your sourcing guidelines. Look at what you've been used to and see if you're willing to expand your range of either sales rank or the keyword margins that you stay within. Like, you know, in the wholesale bundle system, I'm always telling people, when you're looking at merchant words or you're looking at things like that, which of course merchant words is one of my favorites to look at because of the really easy way to decipher their information. You can look up a keyword phrase, you know, Christmas stocking, and you can see how many searches per month and whether it's trending up or down and how many results come up with that, and just kind of factor all in the information. And we all usually have a comfortable threshold that we like to use within that. So if you're looking at a threshold, you're like, okay, the sweet spot can kind of be like 4,000 to 6,000 a month, but sometimes you're too nervous or your risk tolerance isn't that high. So you want to have a little bit higher of a search margin. Just try to move your parameters just a little bit and then see if that helps you kickstart into a little bit more of sales. Okay, tip number two for plateau busting is examine your numbers. Look at the past 2 months of sales, spending, shipments, look at the profits. Are they what you expected? Now, I will tell you this. If you've had an evergreen product for a while and you haven't looked at the numbers lately to make sure that they're matching up and that they're looking right, take a look at those numbers. You know, there's a specific product that we have. It's our private label product, and we've been selling it for this whole year. And, you know, we played with the price a little bit here and there, and then we realized there was a good sweet spot where we were selling a little bit more volume and a little less profit margin. And so we're examining those numbers very carefully right now because it's still a brand new product. It's also an expensive product. So when something's more expensive, we tend to pay more attention to how much it costs, how much it costs the store, if there's any returns, because it's a bigger dent in our pocket if something happens with a piece of inventory that we expected to profit on. So look at your numbers. Set aside some time, you guys. I'm going to say this over and over and over until all of you guys come to me and be like, I did what you said and it worked and thank you. I say that to myself a lot because I have never really been super good at putting things on the calendar until the past like couple of years. It's like, if it's not on the calendar, it's not going to happen. If you're trying to get a coffee chat with me and it's not on the calendar, we're not talking because there's just so much to do. And there's so many things that I love doing and friends and family and work and hobbies and exercise and fun and self-care that like our calendars are full and busy, which is a reason why a lot of these things get ignored. Because there's mandatory money-making tasks that we have to do. And then there's those tasks like this that kind of get skipped. So I am going to encourage you right this second to put it on your calendar. Unless you're driving your car right now, which probably a lot of people are, you know, drive safe. Don't be picking up your phone and texting and all that stuff. But like if you are walking the dog, if you're at home, if you're listening on your computer, you know, somewhere other than, you know, driving a car, pick up your calendar right now and plug in examine my numbers on the calendar somewhere, even if it's like 1 hour from 3 weeks from now. I highly recommend doing it once per quarter. I do all of my accounting and my number examinations on the first Friday of every month. It's on the calendar. It's just the mark on my calendar because it, you know what? I let my accounting go for way too long and not examining the numbers. I know some of you guys have bookkeepers and stuff like that. Even if you have a bookkeeper, you still need to be double checking that stuff, printing your statements, double checking that your invoices are matching your ingoing and outgoing, and just double checking the numbers because it's not something a lot of us really love. I mean, some of us love doing it. Some of you crazy, weird, wacky, math-loving people. I still love you. My sister's one of those people. And just like, she's the total opposite of me, which makes us great because we're opposites, not only attract, but also complement each other because of what I lack, she has, and vice versa. But I'm not one of those people. So I have to force myself to kind of look at it. But I do like looking at my numbers as far as sales and how much profit I'm making. That's the kind of math I love. Like, show me profit all day. And I'm looking at that math. And I'm like, yes, that's the kind of math I want. But I don't know if you guys saw my live the other day, but it was like the fifth grade math. Ugh, I had to do fifth grade math with my daughter the other day. And like, we almost both died. I'm not kidding. I almost died. I didn't. I survived. But barely. Fifth grade math is evil. We should not be doing fifth grade math. Anyway, those are not the kind of numbers we like. We like to look at profit. And so look at your profits. So going to Amazon's transactions and looking at, you know, just kind of maybe pick some at random or pick one ASIN that you sell a lot of and just look at the numbers and see how they add up and making sure that they add up. Because you will also notice certain things that they're holes in your bucket. This is what I call them. Holes in your bucket. There's a fee here and a transaction here and a refund here and a this, that here that you're not really accounting for. And then you realize, why am I not making the margins or the money I thought I would make? You know, if I spend $1,000 and my margin's like a percentage of that and I pay Amazon a percent, I should be making $500 a month or whatever it is. And I'm not. I'm making, you know, $175. So where's the rest? This is where we go and look. Sales tax, missed back order items, damaged items. This is part of owning a business. It's not the fun and sexy part. It's just part. And so put it on your calendar pronto so that you don't ignore it one more month. And it will be painful. It's going to be hard. It's going to be, we're going to want to procrastinate and do any other thing than what's on that calendar. But you know what? The reward is worth it. At the end of the year, when your taxes are all in a row, your duckies all in a row, all of your T's are crossed and I's are dotted and you have all your numbers in a row, you're going to be very happy that you don't have to scramble and stress out for a couple of months trying to figure it all out. You're going to also know if somebody says, oh, what kind of margins are you making? You're going to be able to spit that out because you know, because you're paying attention. Would you randomly walk into your bank account and just withdraw $12.82 and without your permission and you just go, oh, well, it's not a big deal? Every time we ignore a return, every time we ignore inventory that has been damaged by Amazon and we don't chase after it, all this stuff. Now, yes, I understand certain things are worth it and certain things aren't. But that's literally what you can look at doing. That somebody literally, if you have your cost of goods on something is $12.86 and that item is returned and then you get it back and realize the customer tore it apart, damaged it, did not return it the way it should have been done and that you deserve a reimbursement for that. Ask yourself, would you let somebody walk into your bank account and withdraw $12.86 and you just shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, it's just a little bit. It's not worth the hassle. But what if somebody did that to you every month or two or three times a month, every single month for a year? Then would you do something about it? Because that's what's happening if we ignore some of these things that Amazon's doing to us. Now, I also understand that we don't always have the time to handle all of those things. So what do? We make templates for that. So a return template, all you need to do, snap a picture of that item, snap a picture of that little white piece of paper that comes back with those returns, use your template, ask for a reimbursement, upload the pictures, you're all done. But we think it's going to be some big, huge, long process, blah, blah, blah. And it could be because it's Amazon and we cannot predict that. But it also could be the $12.86 back in your pocket every single time that happens. So just do the math for me and decide if that's worth it, because in the moment, it doesn't seem like it's worth it. So let those pile up. And then once a week or once every 2 weeks, you set aside an hour and you get that done. And then you're like, oh, I'm no longer letting somebody steal money out of my bank account, AKA your Amazon account. How often are you shipping? How often are you sourcing? How much are you spending on your inventory? Can you afford to invest just 5% more or 10% more? You know, I've talked to you guys about your numbers. We've had a whole episodes on numbers before. It's been a while. I should probably do a numbers episode. Maybe I'll bring Chris Lovelace on and we can talk about it. But looking at those things, you can up your ante a little bit. So if you're spending $500 a month on inventory, can you spend $525? Can you spend $550 and make that little bit of a sacrifice to try to push it over? And if you can't, then that's when you go back to tip one, which is really examining your margins and really examining how much money you need to make on that $500. So how are your prices? This is another thing that you need to be examining when it comes to your numbers. Competition. If you had a bundle out there for a while and it was selling like crazy and now it's kind of trickling, there's probably some competition out there that you didn't know you had. And it's time to go and revisit really quickly, not hours and hours of tweaking, you guys, not hours and hours, but setting a 15-minute hustle and be like, okay, I want to make sure and double check that I have these two or three keywords or keyword phrases in my listing. And yes, there's competition. I want to examine their prices and see if I'm within range and then let it go. But you need to be looking at those things, because I think once you start growing and getting a little busy and you kind of get into a routine, these are things that fall by the wayside, but they need to be on that schedule. They need to be on that weekly or bi-weekly kind of thing of like, okay, these are the not fun parts, but we still need to do them. Many times businesses fail because people only do the stuff that's fun and exciting, and they don't realize that this is a well-rounded thing. You have to do all the work, or you have to pay somebody else to do the work, which is the best way to do it, but still. The best way to do it is for all the stuff that you don't like doing and don't want to do and all those types of things, you can outsource that to somebody else and you can really focus on what you're great at. But either way, stuff has to be done. See if you can get better prices also. And is this still in numbers? See if you can get better prices from your vendors. You can't get a yes if you don't ask. You can always pop an email over to one of your vendors or your reps and say, hey, I'm really struggling with the margin on this one. Is there any way I can get a better discount? What does this look like? What top tier do I need to get at? Or if I do a monthly order of these, as in like a pre-order, which means they don't have to prepay for it all, but say every month on the first, please order me three cases of these. And, you know, I want them in stock by this and whatever. So if they have this long-standing PO, direct order, it's like a pre-order every month, then they might give you a better discount because you're guaranteeing you're buying product. To where when people are sending POs here and there and whatever, POs are purchase orders, by the way, for anybody who might be unfamiliar with that terminology. You just send your purchase order to your vendors, or if you're doing it online, whatever. But this is where having a rep is really important, because you can call and just say, you know what, I'm really struggling. Another great question to ask them is, do you know any other brands or vendors that might carry a similar product that I could take a look at? Because I know I have several reps that rep many companies, and so they're always sending me different suggestion ideas because they represent a lot of other smaller brands as well. See if you can get better discounts or better prices, or wait for sales, maybe tie up a tiny bit of your inventory money to pre-buy from seasons before. You know, things go on sale, even with your wholesale vendors, at 70 to 80% off after a holiday. And if you know that was a really good seller last year and you're going to carry it again, why not get it for 70% off? The problem is you have to buy it now and store it. So you have to kind of weigh your pros and cons if you want to do that. Also, another thing to look for when it comes to your numbers is your sessions, your page views, your title, just making sure that everything hasn't gone crazy. Sometimes when we hit a plateau, we don't know why, because we're not really looking. We're just looking at the numbers coming in and we're going, oh yeah, that's fine. But have you looked at your title lately? Is it wonky? Did something disappear from your listings? Do you have a process in place to check your listings on a regular basis? If not, you need to come into the hub and you're going to learn how to do those things in the hub, because that's like extra training if you're at the point where you really need to grow and you have that stuff. You need to be in the Amazon Files hub, because that's where all the extra secret sauce training is, the stuff that's like the top level. Like, do you have a process for this? Do you have a process for that? Why? Because processes, I know that's like an annoying word, right? And I hated that word too for so long, but processes simplify things. It takes the thinking out of it, so that all you have to do is be like, okay, A, B, C. You know what else processes do? Make it easy to outsource digital tasks. If you have a process and you can walk through it, and you've walked through it three times, and you can actually articulate it to someone else, then you can hire it out. You don't even have to do those things. So listing checks, you could have a checklist, and then you could hire a VA to do that once a week for you. Check all your listings. Just have a specific checklist. Every listing has to make sure it has proper title, the bullet points, the description still there, the keywords haven't disappeared, the images still look good, and you know it's showing some sort of sales rank, or you know, however you want to do that. Check, 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 and move on. Now, that's fine if you have five listings. It's crazy if you have 200 in some listings. So as you're growing and having a process for something, it'd be really easy to start that process, putting it on your calendar and your list. So pay attention to checking your listings and just making sure that you haven't lost sales or plateaued because you're not paying attention. And just so you know, I'm sitting with you. Like, imagine we're just like sitting in a circle and we're talking about all this stuff, because I'm talking to me as well. Because I will just tell you, it's really easy to let some of these things slide and then kind of wonder why your business isn't doing what you want it to do. Chances are it's our fault, and we just have to own that. And it's not pretty and it's not fun, but then you just, once you recognize the problem, you can fix it. So we're at our come to Jesus moment here. We're talking about how we're going to own our own lack of responsibility so that we can move our business forward. So that was your like tough mom talk for a second, but also that I understand that I'm talking to myself as well, and understand that I'm struggling with some of these things. And so I have to get myself back up on that horse and make sure that everybody else is doing their jobs as well. Because there's stuff on me that I put on our assistants and then I don't check them. And then that's my problem, right? So as far as like what Steven does for our inventory and just different things. So we're all in this together. We're all doing this together. We're all suffering together in some way or another, but we're also profiting in some way. So I want you to just have more profit, more money in your pocket. And so these are the things that we need to do and get done. Okay, moving on to number three, change your sourcing method. If you've been hitting a plateau, perhaps it's time to finally do the thing. And when I say the thing, I mean, it's finally time to maybe make a switch to the RA, from RA to wholesale. Maybe you're doing RA and wholesale. Maybe you're doing wholesale. Maybe it's time to start adding some bundles. Maybe it's time to dig into a specific private label product that you've been thinking about and dreaming about and just have not brought to the table yet. It's time to change. Now, the type of change is 80 20. It's not an overnight change. It's not a flip-flop. It's not a 360 degree or 180 or whatever. It is 80-20. In other words, you spend 80% of your time, money, energy on the thing that's working right now and 20% of your time on the thing that you want to do that's new. And then after that new thing becomes easier, becomes a little bit more second nature, you are doing it consistently on a regular basis and you're seeing some growth, then you can start varying that number. That number can now be 70-30 or 50-50. Like, okay, I'm doing some retail arbitrage, but I've really got some good wholesale accounts going on. Now I'm going to do 50-50 now. And then pretty soon you have transitioned into this new sourcing method that hopefully is working better for you, making you a little bit more money, and you're better at it so it doesn't feel as hard. So then you slowly transition. You can't just like overnight be like, okay, I'm done with this and I'm going to start this. Because then it almost feels like everything's starting all over. And you just don't want that. So if you're doing one method of sourcing right now, maybe pepper in a little bit of other things to see what's really going to work for you. If you're doing wholesale bundles exclusively, maybe it's time to think about a private label product that you can add to some of your bundles. If you haven't already done that, maybe it's time to think about a different niche or a different category to try. And yes, you guys, you have to give yourself permission to be a beginner, even if it's a beginner in a new category. You're going to suck at first. So just hear me tell you that out loud and also hear me tell you this. It's okay. We don't know how to do them. We don't know what we're doing. So that's kind of actually almost a relief to me because there's no pressure in the beginning to be good at something that you just don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do it. There's no pressure. The pressure's coming in when you start getting good at something and now you have to be accountable for that level of what you're producing. You're no longer a beginner. You cannot call yourself a beginner forever. You have to grow up into the next step and phase, even if it's a small step. So when you're really looking at those small steps in those different places, you've got to be able to make those changes and give yourself the grace and the permission to just be bad at something for a time. You're not going to get it right away. You're not going to understand a new category right away. You maybe not understand wholesale bundle processes in the beginning. But the more you practice and the more you're committed to doing this new thing, even if it's really small, the better you get at it. And the better you get at it, the more confidence you get. The more confidence you get, the more willing you are to take the steps that you need to take to get you where you want to go. So there's this process, this journey, these steps. I know we all want to go from A to Z immediately, but we're going to have to just grow a little patience because as much as we have instant this and instant that and text messaging and Instagram and all this kind of stuff, there's still nothing instantaneous about business. That's the one thing that hasn't changed over this past, you know, 5 decades, 100 years, however long, is that technology has moved so fast in the past 20 years. I mean, just think about that for a minute. 20 years ago, there was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. Was there YouTube 20 years ago? I don't know. Some of the things that Amazon 20 years ago did not exist or barely. I think Amazon started in 94 or something. So like barely. So let's give ourselves some grace and some credit that we are moving forward, that everything, all of this stuff is new. But business strategies, business tactics, and the mindset that you need to have and the characteristics that you need to have in order to run a good business have not changed over time. Our technology has, and the way we gather and process information has, but those are things that haven't changed. You've got to be willing to be patient. You've got to be willing to be persistent. You've got to be consistent and keep going after what you want. And so changing is part of the process, pivoting, changing. Doesn't mean you give up one thing and go to the next. So try listing a brand new product. Try listing a couple of, you know, if you're doing wholesale bundles and you're just kind of tapped out with bundle ideas for a minute, then look at some single unit wholesale. Someone said this recently to me and I was like, how did you misunderstand me? I am not against straight up wholesale products at all. I'm not against retail arbitrage, although I think it has many risks in different categories we need to be aware of, but I'm not against these things. I'm pro protection of your account, protection of your hard work, pro working smarter, not harder. One of the reasons why I do wholesale bundles is because I did wholesale and it was great for a time. Every product was great for a time, but somebody will always find it and jump on it. And then usually that somebody doesn't play nice for very long. And all of a sudden the prices are tanking. or, you know, if you can get exclusive, that's great. But usually companies, that doesn't last very long because they want to get as much product out as possible because everyone wants all the money. It's like a big money grab, right? We have to be really smart about how we work through things. So I'm not against straight up wholesale at all. I know the pitfalls of it. I know it can get very frustrating. And when you spend so much time, work, and energy for someone to then just come in and hijack and just lower prices, or maybe the manufacturer, you can't compete with them anymore because they decided to come to Amazon. And now your best-selling product makes you like negative money now because you're competing against the people who make it. There's all kinds of different pitfalls. So it's the reason why I love wholesale bundles, is because it gets rid of all those pitfalls and it lands on me to do that. But trying new bundles, that doesn't mean that I don't occasionally just put some wholesale stuff out there, because right now nobody's on it. This product isn't even listed on Amazon. I love to create listings. I said that. It's a creative process for me, mostly because I like to write and I don't write big paragraphs. Well, some of you guys enjoy numbers and all that kind of stuff. I enjoy words and I enjoy writing them and arranging them to make them the most sense and using the keywords. It's like a puzzle that I put together. And so I enjoy that. But these are things that you can do. You kind of go where other people aren't going. If you're used to selling really, really inexpensive things, take a chance on something that costs a little bit more. No risk, no reward. Risk, smart, calculated risk, but risk. Okay, tip number 4 to busting plateaus is try PPC or perhaps a new software. So I'm going to make some assumptions that if you're hitting a plateau, it's because you're making some regular, consistent money. You can't maybe grow past that right now, and that's why you're at a plateau. But if you're making decent, consistent money, it's time to examine some tools and see, first of all, if you're using all of the tools that you already pay for to the best of their ability. So here's a perfect example. Merchant Words. Yes, they are my favorite. I always talk about them all the time. And it's just because I love and I have loved their software and their processes and the new things that they add on a regular basis for since, like, I don't know, 2015 or 2014 or something. It's been a long time since I've used Merchant Words. And so I'm comfortable and used to that. But the problem with being comfortable and used to that is that you kind of ignore some of the amazing tools that they have just sitting around that you have access to because you're just so used to using the regular ones. So when I feel like I'm hitting a plateau with stuff, I go back to Merchant Words and I spend time learning another section of what they have to offer. Again, if you're in the hub, there's an entire training about a couple of the extra tools that Merchant Words has. They themselves teach it to show us, you know, the best way to kind of build keyword lists and different stuff. Same thing with Helium 10. There's extra training in there, 2 extra trainings to be able to see these things. So the question is, are you utilizing all of the resources that you're already paying for? Have you watched all of the training in Wholesale Bundle System? If you're in the hub, have you attended every training? Have you seen every training? Have you attended all of the group coaching classes or re-listened to them while you're at work or walking the dog or driving or whatever? Are you fully invested in things that you've already invested in? If you paid for good training, by gosh, take the training. On a serious note, though, like, we're all guilty of this. We buy a book, we don't read it. We buy a training, we don't watch it. We do this and that. And if you're not fully committed, that's totally fine. And your time is your time. You can do what you want with it. But if you're complaining or worried or wondering or mad that you're at a plateau, maybe it's time to pony up a little and watch some of the trainings that you've already seen and you've already done and watch them again and learn something new and practice it. This is just something that it's just like, let's use all of the resources. You know, see, some of the problem with what we all have is that there's so much access. And when the going gets tough, we don't know how to be scrappy. We just think we need to buy something new. Instead, let's reuse what we've already got or use it again, watch it again, listen again, participate a little bit more in stuff you already have instead of constantly consuming something new and different because you think you haven't learned something already. Go back and re-listen and re-watch and re-practice and tweak some things a little bit. There's a lot of training out there to do all these different things. But if you've got your hands in all the kind of cookie jars, you're not really moving forward. So it takes time to learn new skills. You know, if you were going to learn the piano, you would need to schedule lessons and practice in order to get good, in order to even just play one song. You're going to need to schedule lessons, pay for them, and then practice. Same thing with your business skills. If you need to learn something new, you need to schedule the time, take the class, and practice the skills. They're no different. It takes time to learn something add it to the calendar. You don't get a promotion before you learn a skill. You learn the skill, you practice it, you get good at it, and then you go, hey, I learned this. This is a one-up for me. I would like a promotion. So promote yourself by investing in training, or don't even invest in training. Rewatch training that you've already watched. Learn something different. Catch it again. Practice it again. Watch the framework and practice the steps, even with something random. Just do it. Time is very valuable and it costs a lot. But do you want to plateau or don't you? Okay, tip number 5, which is always the last one. And the reason why I go here is because I deal with a lot of clients on a regular basis. And one of the biggest things they run into at a certain growth period, which is around the 4 and 5 figures. So it's like if you're going from like 8,000 and you're trying to get up to 10,000, 12,000 a month in sales, there's usually like this plateau area. Like, I just can't spend any more money. I'm doing absolutely everything I can. I'm paying myself. I'm doing this. But like, what I really just need is more money. I mean, can I get an amen out there? Can somebody just like wave and clap and whatever else? I mean, I know we can't hear each other right now, but I'm with you. I'm just going to pause for a moment to let you guys just have that. Take advantage of what you already have access to and ask. So if you've got vendors, ask if they have terms. Terms 30, 60, 90 days. Do they have any sort of holiday dating or any dating whatsoever? That basically means you can order your stuff now, Christmas stuff. We get dating on Christmas stuff, a lot of Q4 type things. Order now, as in like, I don't know, March or April or something like that. And you don't have to pay till December 1st. And they ship it in like September. So take advantage of that dating. You basically can sell all the product or most of it before you even have to pay for it with zero interest. Still borrow that kind of deal. So utilize it first. 30, 60, 90 day terms with your vendors. A 60 day term means they ship it to you and you don't have to pay the bill for 60 days and 0% interest. That's better than a credit card, y'all. Get some terms. But, you know, that's like long-term relationship, right? Like, you don't go in on the first date usually and ask for credit card terms. I may call it a first date, but like when you're going in, pay with your credit card a couple times to show that you're credit worthy and then say, hey, do you have terms? I'd like to apply for terms. So that you're getting inventory and at least getting it on the shelf before you even have to pay for it. So that's really, really great. Zero interest credit cards are better, or something that you can use that you don't have to pay interest on. So I know like Chase Inc. usually does like a business credit card. They usually do like a 0% interest for the first 12 months. Take advantage of that. That's free money. Yes, you have to make your monthly payments, but you're not being charged interest, which basically means you're just paying straight up for the inventory. And if you can turn it within that time, even if you can't turn it within that time, you're not paying any interest. And then you have your interest. I mean, you've got to be able to leverage capital growth. So we don't always have some rich uncle that's just going to deposit a whole bunch of money into our bank account. I mean, that would be great. But or we don't have shark investors. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like even at my level, like I don't have people knocking on my door going, hey, we want to invest this much money into your business. No, we have to go looking for this capital. We have to go looking for extra money for our business. And it's kind of lying around. Number one, fix all the holes in your bucket. That's number one. Number two, learning new skills can help you make more money. Like if you learn just even one thing about PPC or one thing about Helium 10 or merchant words that you didn't know, that could instantly make you more money. So just pay attention to that. But when we actually do need to leverage more capital, because you're just like, all I need is more money. I know exactly how to spend it. I know how to make it. I know how to double or triple it. I just need the money. Y'all, I've been there many times in my business. With 100% confidence, I could go to someone and say, look, I can triple this money in 3 months, but all I need is the cash, or all I need is the inventory. So when it comes to these things, we really deeply have to consider, number one, our accountability level. If you have $50,000 of personal debt in your household and you're trying to borrow more money to bootstrap your business, don't do that. That's kind of showing you that you need to clean up the mess first that's in your kitchen before you start going making a mess other places. We all have to admit where our financial responsibility is or is not, and then borrow or don't borrow accordingly. If you're already in debt up the wazoo, your business doesn't need more debt either. Usually credit scores reflect that, but sometimes they don't for whatever reason. So I'm just having you like a truth moment with you here. I'm your friend. I'm your mentor. I love you. I care about you and your success. And so I have to say the hard things. If you have a ton of debt, borrowing more money isn't going to dig you out of debt. You have to just be responsible when the money comes in to pay something off. use your business to pay off your debt and then start talking about bootstrapping your business, because you'll take it a lot more seriously when you look at the miles of debt. And you guys, I'm going to be honest with you. If you've heard my story before, you'll know it again. I'm not saying this from some fancy pants throne. I've had a mortgage foreclosed on that then you have to pay all of those fees. People think if you just foreclose, they just take your house and you just walk away clean. No, there's thousands and thousands of dollars that come with that. And just a lot of it. I've been through really bad accountability, bad finances, been very irresponsible with money back in the day, mostly because I didn't have it and I wanted it. Half of it was because we just couldn't live on what we had. But we made the tough changes. We grit our teeth. We didn't go places and do things. Instead, we paid for what we owed. And now we get the reward of that. But in the moment, it was tough. It was really tough. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to pay $500 a month on a credit card bill that I rang up like 7 years ago. That felt like crap. I also deserve to pay that off and feel that spanking in the moment because I earned that. That's what I dug myself into. And so I had to dig myself out of it. And I know that you can do it as well. So you're not hearing this from somebody that's just has piles of money in the backyard. Like, I've had to work through that. So what I'm saying and cautioning is borrow carefully if you have a tendency to overspend and not pay your bills. However, if you find yourself very responsible with money and you have a good credit score and you just need a little bit of capital for your business, there's lots of things to consider. Right now, the SBA business loans are very, very low interest, and you can get quite a bit of money. If you have a business plan, if you have these things that you're able to show them your numbers, that's a really good chance you can get SBA Small Business Association loan. It's through banking services, but you can reach out to SBA.org and you can look there. Amazon offers quite a bit of loans. Now, the Amazon loans are really easy to get, but they also cost a lot. And you usually have to pay them back really, really quickly. So Amazon might give you 20 grand, but they're going to say you have to pay 20 grand in 6 months. Would you buy a car for 20 grand and then you have to pay it all back in 6 months? That's a huge payment. So you got to make sure that you can handle that. Now, another really great way that I actually learned recently about to kind of get growth capital for your business is AccrueMe. So first of all, if you want to learn more about that, go to mommyincome.com/money. Okay. mommyincome.com/money and watch the video, the brief video that they explain of like getting a funding estimate. So this is for established businesses that you've been in business for a while and they can look at some sales history and there's no interest and no payments, no credit check, no fees, and no equity of ownership. So they're not going to own any of your business. They give you an estimate of how much the money they can give you and they explain how they work with you. They don't make any money if you don't. So they invest in businesses that are doing okay, that they want to do better. I believe it's more of a profit share. So it's not an ownership. You can, you know, walk away and pay anytime you want to. But for more information on AccrueMe, they really have done a great job at being able to leverage financing for your business. I don't even like to like use the word finance. It's just growth capital. So there's not interest. Financing usually means interest and the monthly payments and everything like that. But the way they do it is work with you within your Amazon account to be able to look at the profits, see how they can help you increase it. So they don't just give you money and walk away. They work with you to be able to maximize profits because they only win when you win. So it's a really good opportunity for people who don't have a ton of money, but know exactly what they want to do. They know how they're going to grow. They know exactly what they would use the money for. And then they just need it. And they're really there to help you. So mommyincome.com/money will help you learn a little bit more about it. There's like a 2.5 minute video that you want to watch that kind of explains what to do. And then you can get your like free estimate, free calculator. I think this is super brilliant for people who are, I would consider well established. Like maybe you've been doing business consistently for 6 to 12 months, maybe even longer, and you're just ready to get a little bit more money into your business, but you don't want to borrow the traditional way. I really think that this is a great opportunity to get into. So it's a really good help growth capital for Amazon sellers. So just, you know, wrapping it up and really thinking about this stuff, get out your calendar, figure out when you're going to plan some of these things to bust through this plateau, because they can be busted. We hit many plateaus many times, and using one of these methods, we were able to get out of it and continue to grow. And going from 5 figures to 6 figures is also a really hard time and stretch of being like, okay, how do we get over this hump and move it? And how about from 6 figures to 1 million? That's a longer climb, and it takes a lot longer to go from that to that. But, you know, as you're changing and growing and moving, that's exactly what you need to do, is constantly examine this. So how bad do you want that growth? What will that mean for you, for your life and for what you're doing? Think about what the result would mean and then put the work in. You don't get nothing you don't earn, right? So just put the work in. You've got this. You can do this. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I know. But we got this and we got it together. So make sure you check out the Accrue Me video, mommyincome.com/money. Don't forget about the workshop if that's something that you're interested in. And it's time to leave your comfort zone and get to getting, because everything that you are working for and deserve is on the other side of your procrastination and your overthinking and maybe just your busyness. So let's get accountable and let's move the needle. Thank you guys for listening. I know you could be anywhere else doing any other thing at the moment. I don't take that for granted. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the Amazon Files. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Thank you for being a loyal listener. If you are ready to take your business to a whole new level, I'm ready to work with you. Visit mommyincome.com/coach to schedule your one-on-one call today. I'll be back next week with more strategies to help you succeed. Until then, step small and dream big.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Amazon Files podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes by heading over to mommyincome.com/review. The Amazon Files will be back again next week. Thanks again for listening.